Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology. Happy Friday, everybody. Today we're going to take a look at the new moon that is forming in the sign of Aquarius. This new moon is forming in a pretty tight square to Uranus in the sign of Taurus. So that'll be a big part of our focus for the day. We're also going to look at a number of other underlying factors that are helping to shape the nature of this new moon cycle. So that will be our task today, is to kind of look at all of those contextual factors that contribute to the seeding of the new moon cycle, because they will play a role in the entirety of the cycle ahead. I apologize because I'm getting over a cold, so I have Kermit the Frog voice today, but bear with me. Anyway, before we get into it, as always, don't forget to like and subscribe. Take 2 seconds and press the like button. It really helps the channel to grow. We really do appreciate it when you do that. Transcripts of any of my daily talks, including today's, can be found on the website, which is nightlightastrology.com. Now, I want to take you over there because I have an event coming up this month that you may be interested in attending. If you go over to nightlightastrology.com and you click on the live events tab right in the middle there, or you go up to events and click on live events, either way, you'll be taken over to a page that shows you a new monthly webinar series that I'm doing, one webinar per month going forward here. This is on February 15th from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern time. It is the first of a three-part series I'm doing on the outer planets and the way that they play a role in love and relationships. In this first part of the series, we're going to take a look at Pluto. Now, this could be a talk for you to understand Pluto as someone who has Pluto in the seventh house, or Pluto aspecting the moon or Venus and contributing to your experience of love and relationships. Or it could be that you're wanting to make more sense of a Pluto transit and get to know Pluto and the different ways that Pluto participates in creating change in love and relationships, or just sexuality overall. So anyway, that webinar is $20 if you want to register to join us on the 15th. That's happening right as Venus actually conjoins Pluto in the sky, which is kind of neat. But if you can't make it live, we also, after you register, we send you a link to the recording so you can download and listen to it if you miss it live. So you can attend live or end up taking the recording afterward. Anyway, check that out. Hope to see some of you there coming up. And in March and April, we'll be doing Neptune and Uranus in love and relationships as well. So I'll have more information on that as it becomes available. So on that note, let us now turn our attention to the real-time clock, where we will start to unpack this new moon cycle. So here we are on Friday, February 9th. And oops, if I can get this to work, will it work? Yeah, there we go. Okay. Big circle, medium to big size circle today. Anyway, there's the new moon in Aquarius, and we want to draw out the fact that it's happening right around 20 degrees is significant because it connects within a degree to a square with the planet Uranus in the sign of Taurus. So we have this very powerful new moon cycle that is, it's Uranian. It's really a Uranian moon cycle. So a new moon in Aquarius, square Uranus and Taurus. Let's start off talking about the square of a new moon in Aquarius to Uranus and Taurus. So this is the quintessential mind-body connection. Whenever you think of Taurus, you're thinking of the middle of the unfolding of zodiacal spring, which is really establishing for us a sense of peace and abundance, stability and enjoyment. It's about having the routines and habits and experiences that make life sensual and enjoyable and stable and luxurious and abundant. The shadow of Taurus, of course, would be things like greed or possessiveness and maybe even some kind of material fixations that if we're not careful of, they can sort of possess us, and we can become lost in the sort of golden fever of materiality. So on that note, it's important that we look at both sides of Uranus and Taurus. On the one hand, Uranus and Taurus is trying to help us shift our relationship with the material world and our sense of pleasure, stability, and enjoyment within it. And the square to the new moon in Aquarius brings with it the sense of a new blueprint, a new design. You think of Aquarius, you think of ideas in the mind of the gods. You think of blueprints laid out on celestial tables somewhere up in Olympus. You think of ideas that are changing. And they, as they change, they shift us and open up new ways that we can experience the world, our body, pleasure, sensuality, enjoyment, comfort, ease. New ideas mean new ways of experiencing pleasure. I will tell you, as someone who's, you know, throughout my life done different juice cleanses and different diets and different workout plans and whatever, you know, as a Taurus, as a member of the Taurus Rising Club, you know, it's once I find something that I like as a Taurus that, you know, it's a nice routine or a habit and it stabilizes, and it could be my morning cup of coffee or it could be some, I don't know, some feature of my diet, I will just stick with it. Because I'm the kind of person, and I think Tauruses, a lot of Tauruses are like this, not all, but you go to a restaurant and I go to which restaurant I want to eat at based on the same menu item that I get all the time. and it's so like, yeah, like, anyway, and Ashley's similar because she's a sun and moon in Taurus as well. So anyway, that's Taurus for you. Sometimes Taurus is like, if it works, if it's not broken, you know, don't fix it. And Uranus in Taurus provides that Taurian archetype with the new ideas. Hey, look, there's different ways that you could open up and experience pleasure. And just because you're changing something doesn't mean that pleasure will be diminished. Could you entertain the idea that it might even get better? So we have the radical idea sitting before us, presented to us from the high-minded realm of Aquarius, that we could make changes that provide more freedom, greater happiness, greater ease, a different kind of rhythm, a different kind of stability. But in order to get there, we also have the difficult task of bridging air and earth, which means in many cases, mind and body. The body has to open itself up to the airy realm of ideals and ideas and paradigm changes that can temporarily destabilize. But we also have to be trusting enough that they can find a way of integrating and creating new forms of enjoyment, stability, peace, ease, flow, abundance, and so forth. So there's a lot of work this cycle on the mind-body connection and on shifts or changes that we can make, paradigmatic or changes to our ideas that can lead to a different kind of embodiment, a different kind of materiality. So that's kind of, broadly speaking, that is the square between the new moon in Aquarius and Uranus in Taurus. Now, we have to beware of the shadows, which can be the shadows of stubbornness, immovability, possessiveness, fear of change that Uranus in Taurus could bring up. We also have to be aware of pie in the sky, idealistic, perfectionism, and some sense of idealism that is being presented to or for the body and the earth that is somehow intolerant of or doesn't account for the messiness of life, that's intolerant toward the basic human earthy nature. We don't want to develop some kind of, it's like someone who goes too far with cosmetic procedures and ends up looking inhuman because they're sort of, they've had an idea of beauty that's not been forgiving enough of their actual humanness or the process of aging or something like that. These are just metaphors, right? The images that come to mind. All right. Number two, let's take a look at some of the dignities. This is a really interesting moon cycle in large part because of the dignities that are present. So this new moon is forming, right? You know what? I'm actually going to circle on the wall. All right, there we go, a little bit smaller. Now, this new moon is forming right into the bound of Mars. And so that's interesting because at the outset of the cycle, as the new moon takes shape in the bound of Mars, you could say that it is beholden to its appearance, has to conform in some way to the formal requests of Mars. And what is Mars doing? It is exalted and culminating in Capricorn and going into a conjunction with Pluto in Aquarius. So this cycle, now we've talked about the Uranian nature of the cycle, and we've talked about air and earth. Now we have to understand that the cycle has the martial influence that can make that revolutionary impulse much more adamant and willful. It can make it more confrontational and explosive. It can make it more urgent and potentially like competitive or aggressive. Now that could be great in terms of mobilizing our resources. It could be great to have Mars so emphasized at the outset of the cycle in terms of really changing our mind or really enacting some kind of change on behalf of an idea that is beautiful and could disrupt, but also improve our connection to earth and body and pleasure. But we have to, because remember, it's connecting back to the Uranus and Taurus. But we have to understand that when Mars gets into a conjunction with Pluto, it's more nuclear. It has a really intense eruptive quality. The transformation that's coming is it's thorough and it's deep. And it's on behalf, again, of a transformation of ideas, systems of thought, paradigms, like the blueprints being laid out on the table in the realm of the gods that I mentioned earlier as so Aquarian. Now have it's as though there's a siren going off in the realm of the gods, and there's urgency behind the ideas that are presenting themselves and the need to act on behalf of them. So you get the revolutionary impulse now coupled with the martial feeling of urgency, intensity, and explosiveness. So it becomes a bit more intense, which is not necessarily what Taurus loves, right? So this is going to be a part of what we have to think about going forward, is that the urgent, demanding, revolutionary, impulsive qualities of Mars, although acting on behalf of some vision that is probably connected ultimately to Taurian values, may be so urgent and aggressive that at least temporarily things are disturbing the peace rather than helping create a new kind of pleasure or a new kind of Taurian happiness. At least initially, there's more of a rattling the cage quality. So that's interesting. Number three. Now, Saturn is the domicile ruler of the new moon. But what's Saturn doing? Saturn is in the exaltation of Venus and the bound of Venus in a water sign, strongly beholden to Venus. So what I find interesting is that in so many ways, this cycle, like the last cycle, is suggesting paradigmatic changes that involve new visions and ideas and a change of mind and a change of thinking and the opening up of, there's a more spacious quality that's trying to open up that's connected intimately to pleasure and the body and creativity and love and sex and all earthly delights. But in order to do so, it's like it's almost like you're calling some kind of angelic interior designer over to your psychic home and saying, look around, how can we shift the design to make it more beautiful, inhabitable, stable, peaceful? And the presence of Saturn in Pisces as the ruler of this moon cycle in the exaltation and bound of Venus suggests that, again, the underlying change is being made on behalf of Venusian things, relationships, love, peace, art, beauty, women, desire, the body, happiness in the material worldly sense. But now we're talking about beauty also as an ideal. So with the Aquarius and so much emphasis on Saturn in Venus ruled signs, and the cycle starts off, of course, with Venus still in Capricorn, which is also Saturn signs. We have a form of mutual reception between Saturn and Venus. We are restructuring. We are transitioning. We are moving heavy things around and creating a different kind of support system for Venus. And just think about the role that Venus plays in your individual existence, right? And think about the kind of like, yeah, like this interior designer that's visiting and saying, how do we rearrange everything on behalf of Venus? It requires a kind of emotional sensitivity and tact. Saturn in Pisces underlying this moon cycle says, you know, this requires a real sensitivity and imagination and a romantic kind of emotional intelligence. So again, it's like, it's not just Aquarian in the sense of just, you know, rushing forward with this kind of idealistic, you know, Aquarius can be like dogmatic in its idealism. So that won't stand because the ideals that are shifting, the progressive ideas that are trying to, you know, take us forward somehow, reach towards some higher potential that's latent within ourselves or humanity at large, it's being informed by tremendous Venusian sensitivity. So there has to be, this is aesthetic or it's not going to work. This is relational. This is about embodied bliss. And if it's not including those things, we're going to have problems. Saturn will become like the presence of a dull, heavy weight around us that's refusing to change because we're refusing to look at this Venusian level of things. It's also interesting at the beginning of the cycle that right as the cycle begins, we can also see that Mercury is heading into a square with Jupiter. Now, Mercury square Jupiter also suggests, again, the exact same kind of pattern. Here we have the mental energy of Mercury coming off from the conjunction with Pluto. We have it heading into a square with Jupiter, who is in the exaltation of the moon, and it is also in the domicile of Venus. So a concern with tremendously earthy embodied values. Mercury and Jupiter squaring has to do with a kind of a combination of mind and body, again, of planning and vision in pursuit of things that are peaceful, easy, enjoyable, luxurious. This is the kind of combination that could be used in terms of developing a financial strategy or a business design or a business plan that's aimed at creating more ease or more wealth or more prosperity. But it's also just, it's about strategizing toward the goal of earthly happiness and earthly desire. And so these are, you know, just fascinating signatures that are all sort of re-emphasizing the same basic themes. You're probably at this point hearing me sort of repeat most of the same themes over and over. And number five, as the cycle unfolds, Venus herself is moving into a conjunction with Pluto. So we'll see that by about February 16th, within 1 week, as the look at this, as the first quarter moon comes through in Taurus, the exaltation of the moon, so an exalted first quarter moon in the sign of Venus. And what is Venus doing? Going through the conjunction with Pluto in Aquarius. All the same themes coming together. This is so much about the Venus and earthy Taurian desires and the Aquarius high, the Aquarian high-mindedness that is somehow needed to create what Venus and the kind of sign of Taurus in general wants for us right now. And remember, this is all going along with the moving of Jupiter and Uranus into a conjunction by late April. So everything is conforming around Jupiter and Uranus and Taurus, trying to create this kind of earthy breakthrough, this Venusian breakthrough. So that's how I'm seeing the cycle ahead. And my hope when I present these is that you, by mapping out the little dignity trails, that you can just sort of see which planets and which archetypes are being emphasized in the entirety of the cycle. I mean, this moon cycle will carry through all the way until our next new moon, which is right around March 10th, at which point in time, by the way, everything will be in Pisces. everything's in Pisces and Venus will be entering Pisces. And so, you know, this cycle will be sort of moving us into the next moon cycle, which is all in the exaltation of Venus, where Venus will then move into her exaltation. Mars will move into Pisces. Saturn will be in Pisces. Neptune's in Pisces. Now it's interesting, that there's something demanding this kind of Venusian embodiment and a paradigmatic revolution around Venusian things. Anyway, it's fun to live this alongside of you guys. And I so appreciate the ability to read your stories. So if you have a good story to share, don't ever forget, you can use the hashtag grabbed. Tell us the transit, tell us your story in the comment section, or email us your story, grabbed at nightlightastrology.com. I do plan on getting to another grabbed episode soon and updating you guys on some of the cool stories you've been sharing. Okay, on that note, I'm going to give my throat and my voice a rest, and I hope that you guys will have a very good weekend. All right, take it easy.